Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network for this Tuesday, April the 6th, 2021. We thank you for listening to AFR. Well, co-hosting with me today is Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
Fred Jackson, good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
Dr. Ray Pritchard is in Kansas City, but he's having internet problems. So he will be joining us as soon as, I don't guess he personally is having internet problems. Internet has affected his life because it's not working. Right, Walker? Isn't that way?
That's a good way to say it.
Yeah. So he'll be joining us momentarily. Hopefully we'll get that worked out. Raise your hand if you've ever had internet problems. Oh, man. All right. A lot to talk about today. Dr. Frank Turek, our good friend, will be with us in 10 minutes or so. And then Sandy Rios at the bottom of the hour. And then Senator Jason Raypert will be with us next hour, too, right, from Arkansas?
That's right. Arkansas State Senator Jason Raypert will be with us to talk about one of the latest bills going through the state legislature there that the governor should be signing, but we'll discuss at length.
Well, Governor Hutchinson of Arkansas yesterday vetoed what's called HB 1570, and Senator Raypert, I'm sure, is disappointed in that, and we'll talk about what can be done to override the governor's veto on that. My notes say that this bill would have banned gender reassignment surgeries and hormone supplements to anyone under 18 years of age. So why would the governor veto that? Well, I read his reasons for it yesterday. I didn't buy it. But I read his reasons for it yesterday. But Senator Raypert will join us to discuss that, because this is happening all across the country. Mm-hmm. This transgendered movement is full press across the country, and a lot of states are reacting to it, especially as it has to do with minors. So we'll be discussing that with him coming up in a little bit. Congratulations to the Baylor Bears. Mm-hmm. For winning the men's national championship last night in college basketball. You guys,
that's your team.
Yeah, I was pulling for Baylor. Mm-hmm. Just because we have so many listeners that are Baylor grads or fans, and we've had a station in Waco forever.
Yeah,
one of our first radio stations there for American Family Radio in the Waco area. So I know we have a lot of Baylor fans. Nothing against Gonzaga. They are an excellent basketball team. That was the first loss they had all year. They were like 36-0.
Wow.
And, the first loss. But you were watching, Walker. The Baylor Bears were like, huh?
There
was nobody going to beat Baylor last night. I don't think an NBA team could have beat Baylor last night.
No, they never let up. And the speed that they were playing, Gonzaga couldn't keep up.
No.
On offense or defense.
No.
So they were... I've never seen a team run up and down the court so fast.
Well, also, seemed like all of Baylor's shots went to the bottom of the net. They didn't. The net barely moved.
Yeah, one of their guards.
They hit like 8 or 9 or 10 threes.
Yeah, one of their guards. I forgot his name, but he would, especially after halftime, he would throw up. He would get about 3 or 4 steps past half court, and he'd just throw it up.
Swish.
The net wouldn't even move.
I know.
And you're like, did that go in or did he airball? No, it went in.
Sounds like a God thing.
I know. I'm not saying God chooses winners and losers in college basketball, but it sure seemed like God was on the Baptist side last night. Baylor's a Southern Baptist school, which I'm sure makes the woke crowd really happy to see them win the national championship. You know, they were all after ORU a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't want them to make it. They made it to the Sweet 16. Ray on yet? No. Does Ray know how to work the internet? Does he know how to fix it? Huh? Or is he under his desk right now in Kansas City trying to plug stuff in, Brent?
I'm working with him right now to get it resolved.
You're working with him?
Yes.
You know he's 65, right?
He's pretty savvy. Yeah.
Pretty tech savvy.
He is. Reyes.
Okay.
He is.
I understand Reyes contacting Al Gore.
Because he invented it.
Al Gore invented the internet.
Go to the source.
Go to the source.
That's good stuff.
That's good,
right there.
Fred. I like that. Walker, tell folks how they could join us on the thing that Al Gore invented.
To check us out on the internet, you can visit our website. That's one of the most popular ways to catch up with today's issues. Go to our website, afr.net. You can catch past shows there also, in addition to listening live. And then we have an app. It's very easy to use. It's the AFR app. Takes you about 2 minutes to download it. Just go to your app store, type in AFR, and you can get our app there. And lastly, we do live stream the video on Facebook and YouTube. Just check out our Today's Issues pages on Facebook and YouTube.
Fred?
Yeah, if you're still scratching your head over why Major League Baseball has decided they don't want to do the All-Star Game in Atlanta, Georgia, and why corporate America, many in corporate America, like Coca-Cola and Delta, now United Airlines, are all saying that Georgia should be punished for its voter ID law. We got a great piece on One News Now. We just posted it just a few minutes ago from Michael Graham. He's the managing editor of InsideSources.com. Go and read it. But briefly, I'll go through for you. So these corporate America, Major League Baseball, they agree with President Joe Biden, who say the Georgia law, which just basically adds restrictions that many other states have in voting. Joe Biden called it, you know, Jim Crow type laws. So just have a listen to this. Major League Baseball, they're moving the All-Star game to Denver, Colorado. Denver has the same kind of voting restrictions or even more so than Georgia. Chuck Schumer from the great state of New York also made a bid for the All-Star game in the last few hours, but it turns out their voting law is also got restrictions that even go beyond Georgia. Likewise with Pennsylvania. So, and to add to all of this, the city of Atlanta is 51% black. Remember now, Joe Biden tried to make this a race issue. Atlanta is 76% white.
Oh, Denver, you mean?
Pardon me, Denver.
So the comparison in here, your point is Atlanta is losing the All-Star game because Major League Baseball wants to punish Georgia.
Saying their voting law is racist.
The voting law is racist,
yeah.
In essence.
Yes.
So they move it to Colorado,
yes.
Where Denver is 71%.
76% white.
76% white. So
yes.
You're punishing more in the black community,
yes,
for pulling out of Georgia. If you want to look at it in racial terms, like the left always does.
Yeah,
I don't view everything in racial terms, but they do.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah, the MLB, by making this woke decision, which is not rooted in facts and reality, they are punishing. They're in reality punishing minority-owned businesses, which makes up a large portion of Atlanta-owned businesses.
Right.
And they're moving them to Colorado. So.
But none of their reasons hold water, factually.
No.
Factually.
No.
Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas was on about this morning. In particular, why big corporations like Coke, like Delta, like United Airlines, why are they joining in on this? Cut number six.
Seizing on the practice that is common across states all around the country about approaching voters who are in line is just another example of how the left is smearing Georgia, and these ill-informed CEOs are just buying it hook, line, and sinker because they don't want to be protested, they don't want to be boycotted, they don't want their little social justice warriors with their newly minted Ivy League MBAs rising up in their corporate headquarters.
Yeah. Bingo.
Bingo.
They're cowards.
Yeah.
They're cowards, and also they're buying into the lie, which you can say they're being complicit with it. Listen, folks, cut to the chase, as they say. The Georgia law does nothing but basically require identification in Georgia if you're going to vote. That's if you want to cut through all the,
mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia wanted to prevent, that, as Ralph Reed was on with us yesterday, they wanted to prevent mass mailing, especially mass mail-in voting, without people being able properly identify themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and that is a law, basically, Walker, that is in place in states all over the country.
Yes.
Yeah, so, this legislation is...
Including Colorado.
Yeah, it's very common sense. And I read some of the bill last night. All it states is that in order to complete an absentee ballot, you need to put your driver's license ID number.
You don't even have to have a photo ID.
No.
Right?
No,
you just need driver's license number.
You put your state-issued ID number on the ballot that you send in so that they can key that in to make sure you're the only person
under
that Social Security number doing that. And if you don't
have... Did you say Social Security or driver's license?
Well, both. Or? If you don't have a driver's license, you can put the last four of your Social Security number.
Okay, well, there you go.
If you don't have that, you can attach a copy of your latest utility bill for your home as a third option.
Okay.
And if you don't have that, you can do your birth date with the last four of your...
Walker, what in the world... Stacey Abrams and Biden and what is the end game here? Why are they protesting something that is not in any way, shape, or form Jim Crow?
Yeah,
goodness sakes.
The Democrats do not like any type of verification features when it comes to voting.
Why is that?
Because they like to bend the rules when it comes to voting, and they can't cheat, which Democrats, the media says, there's no evidence that Democrats cheat during elections. There actually is pretty much widespread evidence that Democrats are the only ones that cheat during elections. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania is known historically for their corruption in elections. They get busted every year by the feds.
Chicago, too.
For cheating in elections. And so this myth that, well, Democrats don't cheat, there's no evidence of widespread voter fraud, there actually is. And if you watch the Department of Justice website, after every election, there's indictments and arrests based on cheating.
Yeah.
And the vast majority of the elected officials that cheat are Democrats.
Just put a little icing on the cake here on what we've been talking about.
Well, it's not white icing or black icing. It's just icing, right?
Just
Fred?
Icing. Okay. That's all it is.
Just swirl. Okay, go ahead.
Joe Biden's home state.
Yeah, Delaware.
Delaware. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about their voting rules. Currently in Delaware, it doesn't have early voting or no excuse absentee balloting either.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Neither one?
Yes, they don't have it. Both of which are available in Jim Crow, Georgia.
Biden should be boycotting his own home state.
Yeah.
He should not go home until the rules are changed to change that. That is very strict. I didn't realize that. I didn't realize any state has what? Delaware has what?
Alas, according to our editorial today on One News Now, the state of Delaware currently doesn't have early voting or no excuse absentee balloting.
Wow. Okay, then. This is these CEOs, especially for Delta and Coca-Cola, to issue condemnations of a Georgia state law, and they don't specifically say what their objections are, tells you all you need to know. All they're doing is saying, we're scared of the woke crowd coming after us, just like the Tom Cotton said a while ago from Arkansas. And they're cowards. Mm-hmm. They're just absolute
Yeah, the Georgia law provides like six different ways to verify who you are.
Right.
And when you look at the Secretary of State website now, you have, of course, a driver's license and or another state-issued ID. That's the primary means of identification. Then you have you can do your birth certificate. If you don't have one of the primary, you can do your birth certificate, passport, certificate of naturalization, your Social Security card. If you don't have any of those, which is very odd, you can provide a utility bill, a phone bill, or some other bill to verify your identity.
I know. It's a bunch of lies that the left's putting out on this. And sorry to see the state, the people in Atlanta who are counting on Major League Baseball's All-Star game as a big economic boom for them. Now that's taken away and moved to Denver, Colorado, where they have, guess what? In Colorado, they have voter ID. Voter ID, same thing. They, in fact, they have less days to vote early in Colorado than they do in Georgia. All right, you are listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Frank Turek joins us now. Dr. Frank Turek, host of Cross Examined, heard each Saturday at 9 a.m. Central Time and Sundays at 4 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Hey, Frank, how you doing?
You know what no one ever says about all this voting stuff, it seems to me?
What's that?
That if you don't have voter ID, if you can't verify a legitimate voter is voting, then if you don't do that, then people who vote who shouldn't vote are diluting the votes of the legitimate voters. Why does nobody ever say that?
I know. I don't think it matters with Biden and Stacey Abrams and this and the woke crowd. All they want to do is they want to brand Republicans as racist on almost every issue now today. Mm-hmm. I mean, almost every issue turns into, you're a racist. I think yesterday was pointed out the larger goal here is for the Democrats is to pass the HB1 in Washington to say this is rectifying the racist Jim Crow laws in Georgia preventing black people from voting. That's the message they're communicating, which as somebody said is very insulting because if you're an African American person, they're just telling you you're too dumb to get an ID.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying. It's very patronizing. What the Democrats are saying, we got to protect these black folks who are too dumb to be able to get an ID. That's what they're saying.
I was going to say, if you saw the Babylon Bee yesterday, that NASA has ended the Mars mission after finding out that the planet has no early voting.
Those guys are comic geniuses, I'll tell you what. Okay, Frank, you wanted to discuss the major theme of an Easter sermon that we all heard.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, let me just tell you what I heard in the Easter sermon that I heard this weekend at a local church here in Charlotte. The pastor got up and he said, you know, this is a time when most pastors are going to talk about the evidence for the resurrection. They're going to talk about scientific evidence or historical evidence or archaeological evidence, this kind of thing. He said, I'm not going to do that because I can't prove Jesus rose from the dead. I just take it on faith.
Okay.
Now, I submit to you that the reason that we're losing so many young people to atheism, secularism, or even just progressive Christianity, so to speak, which, by the way, is not progressive and not Christian at all, but anyway, the reason we're losing so many people and that therefore the reason our country is where it is now is because of sermons like that. Because they make it seem, at least some pastors make it seem like faith is a virtue, the kind of faith they're talking about, blind faith with no evidence behind it. That's a virtue, and you shouldn't look for evidence, and you just got to take it on blind faith. Well, when these young kids go to college, do you think the professors say, don't ask any questions, just take what I tell you on faith? No, of course not. And here's the difference between Christianity and every other world religion. We actually have evidence that our viewpoint is true, that Jesus actually did die and rise from the dead. And so many pastors out there, obviously, but so many pastors out there don't pay any attention to that, or like the Yahoo I saw this weekend tried to say, well, there's no evidence for it, you can't prove it. When the Bible actually tells you exactly the opposite. Always be ready to have an answer for the hope that you have. We demolish arguments, take every thought captive to Christ. I'm here in defense of the gospel. Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. In fact, do you know when John the Baptist was in prison and he was having some doubts about whether Jesus was the true Messiah or not, he sent an emissary over to Jesus and he said, ask Jesus if he's the true Messiah. So he goes over, this guy goes over to Jesus, and what does Jesus say? He says, you tell John to stop doubting and just have faith. No, he doesn't say that. He says, look at the signs. Look at the evidence. In other words, Jesus was an evidentialist. He said, I'm proving I'm the Messiah by what I'm doing. And so it just amazes me that there are pastors out there who are actually obviously not reading their Bible, not thinking about this logically, and they come out on probably the most important, not probably, is the most important day in Christianity, Easter, the Resurrection Sunday, and they say inane things like there's no evidence for this and you shouldn't even bother looking into it.
So it pretty much ruined your Easter, didn't it there, Frank?
Well, no, because I know Jesus did rise from the dead. Right. But I'm just curious if you guys had any of that same kind of experience in any of the sermons you heard.
I think I didn't, but I think a lot of our listeners probably are raising their hands right now, because I think there is a problem within Christendom, especially evangelical Christianity, of anti-intellectualism. So that you think that reasoning and evidentiary discovery that you can learn about by reading Frank's books or Josh McDowell's or others is somehow anti-faith, you know, and that's not true.
There's some kind of virtue about being stupid.
But let me ask you this question. By the way, Ray is with us now. Ray, thank you for being on.
I finally got the cord hooked up. It just took me most of this half hour to get the cord hooked up.
Okay. All right. Well, we're glad you got your cord hooked up and internet's working there.
It's the simple things, Ray. Simple things in life.
Tell me about it, Walker. Tell me about it.
All right. So, Frank, let me ask you this question. The Bible does talk about faith being a virtue, though. So what do you say about what is faith and how does that play into what you've talked about?
Well, there's two kinds of faith. There's belief that and belief in. Belief that is getting evidence that God exists, that Jesus rose from the dead. That's what we get evidence for.
Okay.
But even the demons believe that God exists, says James. But there's a difference between belief that, just the intellectual part of it, and belief in or trust in. After you know that it's true, which is intellectual, then you've got to move on to the trust part. And that's more volitional. That is in your heart. There's no reason for belief in. There is reason for belief that. But if you know that Jesus is the Savior, then it's up to your free will, your heart, whether or not you want to accept it. And so it is a virtue to say, I'm going to trust in Jesus. But that virtue is based on the fact that you know Jesus is the Savior. Otherwise, why trust in Jesus? Why not trust in yourself or nothing or someone else?
Yeah. Did that pastor, the sermon that you heard on Sunday, did he ever do anything to discover the missing link, so to speak?
Well, he did make some good points in his sermon, but that's because he swerved into them inadvertently.
So the pastor's looking over the visitation list on Sunday. Well, then we're going to go visit the Turek family. See if they want to come back to our church again. All right, Frank, what do you got coming up this weekend? Do you know yet?
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about this and evidence for the faith on the I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist show at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, Saturday here on the American Family Radio Network.
And your website is?
Crossexamined.org, crossexamined.org with a D on the end of it.
Thank you, Brother Frank.
Thanks, gentlemen. God
Thank
bless.
Thank you for being on with us. That's Frank Turek joining us there. Go to his website, folks. Anything Frank does and writes, you will benefit from in your spiritual life, I assure you. Okay, we will be back after the break. Ray's got his internet fixed. Sandy Rios will be on with us in a few minutes, so it's all good. Mm-hmm. We'll see you in a minute.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
Most people, when they think about marriage, they think self-centeredly. What this person can do for me, what they will mean to me, how they can make my life.
Man, it ain't about you, Chief.
Not if you endeavor to be kingdom citizen.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News.
don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
What would it be like if every person knew that they were created in the image of God?
After 2 years in the making, American Family Studios proudly presents In His Image, delighting in God's plan for gender and sexuality.
There are only two sexes, male or female. If you're conceived with a Y chromosome, you will develop into a male.
In His Image is a documentary featuring life-changing testimonies of former LGBT individuals.
In my most formative years of development of sexuality, I went through a brutal time of sexual distortion, molestation.
Visit inhisimage.movie to watch In His Image.
Well, everybody, welcome to this unboxing video as we unbox my hormone blockers.
In His Image from American Family Studios is available now for free viewing. Visit inhisimage.movie.
You're made in the image of God.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. Major League Baseball is relocating the All-Star Game to Coors Field in Denver. The announcement comes after baseball decided to pull the game from Atlanta over objections to Georgia's new voter ID law. Major League Baseball says they pulled the game to stand in solidarity with Georgia's black population. But in reality, their decision is going to hurt many black businesses. And since the woke left is all about optics, consider this. Roughly 10% of Denver's population is African American. About 34% of Atlanta's population is African American. Colorado also has a stricter voter ID law than Georgia. Gotta have a state ID and a verified signature to vote, and campaign workers are not allowed to provide food or water to voters within 100 feet of a polling station. In other words, Major League Baseball moved the All-Star Game from a predominantly black city to a predominantly white city in a state with stricter voter ID laws. That doesn't sound very woke to me. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sing praises to the Lord, O you His saints, and give thanks to His holy name.
American Family Radio.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Well, I would high-five Todd Starnes right now if he were here. That was, man, he nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
He nailed it right there. By the way, Major League Baseball CEO, what's his name? Yellowback? What's his name?
I don't know.
Ray, do you know his name?
Who? No.
The Major League Baseball guy.
The commissioner?
Yeah, the commissioner. Okay. Anyway, it was Senator Marco Rubio yesterday of Florida.
Yeah.
Wrote him a letter. Do you have it right there, Fred?
No, I don't.
Anyway, I think Steve has it next half hour.
Mm-hmm.
The letter was pure gold. Just calling this guy out for the rank hypocrite that he is, mm-hmm. the Major League Baseball guy, mm-hmm. Commissioner. And as it turns out, he ends his letter. Do you have it there?
The commissioner's name is Rob Manfred, Jr.
Yeah, Mr. Manfred.
Mm-hmm.
As it turns out, I guess I want to read it. It was Rubio's letter. It says to him, I guess you're gonna give up your membership now to the Augusta National Golf Club.
Mm-hmm.
So here you have the Major League Baseball commissioner,
mm-hmm.
acting like he's all righteous about race, right? Mm-hmm. And that Georgia is discriminating against African Americans in this voting law, which is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's pulling out. He's not going to reward Atlanta. He's going to move this to Denver. All the while, this fella has a membership,
mm-hmm.
at the Augusta, Georgia National, Augusta National, well, I don't know if it's, the official name is Golf Club. It's where they have the Masters.
Right, right. Coming golf up this week. Right?
Pretty famous. Yeah.
Pretty famous.
Yeah. Starts 2 days from now. No, tomorrow.
Start, that's right.
No, wait a minute. Starts Thursday. Minute.
Starts Thursday, right, in 2 days.
Yeah. So, and this guy is a member of that club.
And it's in Georgia.
Yes, yes.
And they can't move the golf course.
Yeah. So here it is. Let me just read it real quickly, and we'll go to Sandy. I know she's only got a few minutes with us. Let me see here what he says. This is a letter from Rubio. Rubio, Senator Rubio. Where does he say that about? Okay, here he goes. Did I yell right there?
Yeah, you did.
Wow, that was bad. I hurt my own ears. I'm sorry about that. Allison, my wife, your mama tells me my voice carries.
Yeah.
People can hear me talking about them, even in church, like three rows back. So don't talk about people out loud like that. He says, Marco Rubio says to the Mr. Manfred, the righteous
commissioner.
I would say the righteous Manfred from the Major League Baseball who moved the All-Star game, says Rubio, quote, similarly, I am under no illusion that you intend to resign as a member from Augusta National Golf Club. To do so would require a personal sacrifice, mm-hmm. as opposed to the woke corporate virtue signaling of moving the All-Star game from Atlanta. Earlier in that, thank you, Brent, earlier in that, he had called out Major League Baseball for their working with the Chinese communist to expand their product over there. And he pointed out, Marco Rubio did, that in, you want to make all this criticism of Georgia, guess what? In China, they can't even vote at all.
That's right.
No early voting, no voting at all. Mm-hmm. So these, I would have more respect for these people if they were consistent and that they had a legitimate argument. But the CEO of Coke and Delta and these others and Major League Baseball are a bunch of cowards who caved to the left-wing secularist who with no justification, yep. no justification at all, mm-mm. for doing so. All right, we want to, by the way, Ray's with us now, and Walker and Fred, and I'm Tim, and joining us now is Sandy Rios. Sandy is Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association. That's our ministry. Sandy represents us in our nation's capital, and she's also heard each morning here from 7 to 8 o'clock Central Time on the American Family Radio Network with the program Sandy Rios in the Morning. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, Tim.
Okay, so we wanted to ask you about Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida. Fred, set this up for us.
Yeah, well, he is a rising star in the Republican Party. Some say he may run in 2004. But CBS did what I would call, as a journalist, as an attempted takedown of Governor DeSantis. They tried to make the point that he chose the Publix grocery store chain there in West Palm Beach County in Florida to be one of the first centers to offer vaccinations. And he did so, according to CBS, because Publix gave him a $100,000 donation in his last election. All right? That's what they were trying to prove. Now, what happened was they did a bit of an ambush. The reporter for CBS 60 Minutes, they went out somewhere where DeSantis was doing a news conference. They tried to do an ambush. What they didn't know is that DeSantis' people were recording the whole exchange. So, Sandy, you can jump in here. What happened is basically DeSantis now has been able to provide the facts behind this story, which CBS conveniently left out.
Yes, it was amazing how they edited that. In fact, even the mayor of Palm Beach, who's a Democrat, is calling out CBS for this and defending Ron DeSantis. Basically, the story is what you said, Fred. They are accusing Ron DeSantis of what they call pay-to-play, meaning Publix has the founder's daughter. I'm not sure what her connection. She may be on the board of directors. I'm not sure. She's given them a lot of money, DeSantis' campaign. And she also donated to President Trump. And so the inference is that you allowed Publix, you, Ron DeSantis, to be the administrator of the COVID vaccine because they donated $100,000 to your campaign, sir. So that's pay to play. That's basically what it was. And Ron, in the short clip that they played, says that is just not true. That is not true. I've told you exactly what happened. I've told you the truth, but it doesn't, you do not want to hear the truth. And so they played that portion of his exchange, but they did not play his full explanation. He says that they went to two pharmacies, I think it was Walgreens, and there was a second one,
CVS
maybe.
Yeah.
And they were, their mission, those companies, their mission was to give the vaccine to long-term care facilities by their own choice. That's what they were trying to do, expedite vaccines for senior care facilities. So they, this was working well, but Governor DeSantis decided they wanted to make the vaccine available to more of the population. And so they went to the county commissioner and the mayors and whoever else they went to and said, well, how should we do this? And the, actually it was the county commissioners or the mayors who came back to him and said, we should do it through Publix. Publix is the big grocery store pharmacy chain in Florida. We should do it through Publix. And so they didn't then, the government did not go directly to Publix. They opened it up to all these other entities, including Walgreens and CVS and others, and said, this is what we want to do, and can you do it? And Walgreens and CVS said, we're kind of busy with long-term care facilities. And so Publix raised their head and said, we'll do it. And that's how this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And they also said in these conversations to Walgreens and CVS that when you are ready, when you can manage it, then we'll fold you into the whole, making vaccines available to the general public. So it was a complete lie, complete fabrication.
So, Sandy, as we're sitting here today, obviously looking ahead to 2024, this is a hit job on Ron DeSantis. I think the prevailing view among most conservatives is that they did this because they see him as the front runner for 2024 if President Trump decides not to run again. Is he, in your judgment, I know it's very early, but is he the leader at this point on the conservative side?
Oh, I think there's really no question about it. I was at a meeting recently where he was, and he spoke, and he electrified the room. And this is a meeting of leaders, a meeting of other conservative leaders. He was so powerful. And ironically, let's see, how can I say this without, I have to be careful. Mike Pence, the former vice president, has formed an entity that's being funded by a lot of Republicans who want him to be the next nominee. And I know someone who's working very closely with him who was in the room at the time, and I remember looking at his face, watching Ron DeSantis speak, and I knew that he knew there's no way. Ron DeSantis is a powerhouse, and the way I describe him, he is like Trump without the personality drama. He speaks the truth.
Spot on, Sandy.
He's like, yeah, he's a fighter. He doesn't take any kind of guff, but there's just no drama with Ron. He's very plain spoken and doesn't really draw attention to himself.
Yeah, the left wing media is going to try to take him out.
Yes,
because they see him, rightly so, I think, as the front runner for the Republican ticket and a guy who could win nationally. I don't say that's whether President Trump runs or not. That's a big question mark. Let me just assume for a minute that the president, I'm talking about Trump, decides not to, and he decides to throw his weight behind DeSantis, for example, because they have a lot of similarities ideologically and politically and philosophically, but DeSantis, as Sandy points out, doesn't have the Twitter baggage, so to speak, that President Trump had. I know some of you would say, well, I don't consider him having any Twitter baggage, but he does. Mm-hmm. He does, and we all know this because even people who are fans of President Trump, which I am one, wish he had dialed it back some on some of his Twitter, some of his public commentary. And he would have saved himself a lot of grief. Let me just put it that way. Mm-hmm. But still, a lot of admiration for President Trump for the many things that he has accomplished. Now, if he doesn't run, and I don't think he probably will, I'm just guessing, because of his age and other things. DeSantis is the guy. Mm-hmm. And DeSantis is the governor of like the third largest state in the country. President Trump won Florida by what, 4 or 5 points? Mm-hmm. DeSantis is very popular there as a governor. And he would represent a real threat, I think, to whoever the Democrats were to put up. Again, we're talking 3 years from now. So the liberal media wants to take DeSantis out now, mm-hmm. early, for some reason, get him involved in some kind of controversy, some kind of scandal, which I'm sure the guy is smart enough to know what they're up to. That's why this backfired on CBS 60 Minutes. Now, you said, hey, Sandy, we'll let you go. We know you got business to take care of, and we thank you for being on with us this morning, and talk to you later, okay?
Okay. Thanks, guys. Good to talk to you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We told Sandy we'd let her go at 10:45 Central, so I ran 55 seconds over that. She had some kind of appointment or mm-hmm. something, you know, something more important than being on with us.
Can I play you?
Please go ahead, and then Ray, and then Walker, I'd like y'all's thoughts on this.
What I want to do is play you the 60 Minutes version of the story.
Okay. All right?
What went
Did this
air
last Sunday?
I believe it was last Sunday.
Okay.
Yes. All right. So it's cut number one.
Publix, as you know, donated $100,000 to your campaign, and then you rewarded them with the exclusive rights to distribute the vaccination in Palm Beach.
So first of all, what you're saying is wrong.
How is that not pay to play?
That's a fake narrative. I met with the county mayor, I met with the administrator, I met with all the folks at Palm Beach County, and I said, here's some of the options. We can do more drive-through sites. We can give more to hospitals. We can do the Publix. And they said, we think that would be the easiest thing for our residents.
But Melissa McKinley, the county commissioner in the Glades, told us the governor never met with her about the Publix deal.
The criticism is that it's pay to play, Governor.
It's wrong. It's a fake narrative. I just disabused you of the narrative, and you don't care about the facts because obviously I laid it out for you in a way that is irrefutable.
All right. Now, we're going to play you a cut. This is from the same news conference where this CBS 60 Minutes reporter showed up, but this is what they didn't put in their program last Sunday. Cut number two.
As we got into January, we wanted to expand the distribution points. So yes, you had the counties, you had some drive-through sites, you had hospitals that were doing a lot, but we wanted to get it into communities more. So we reached out to other retail pharmacies, Publix, Walmart. For the Publix, they were the first one to raise their hand, say they were ready to go. And you know what? We did it on a trial basis. I had three counties. I actually showed up that weekend and talked to seniors across four different Publix. How was the experience? Is this good? Should you think this is the way to go? And it was 100% positive.
Yes, and I think as Sandy mentioned, there were Democrat leaders who agree with the governor on this.
Yes.
But they were not featured in the 60 Minutes piece. This was a deliberate takedown of DeSantis.
Yeah.
This is what it is. They see him as a threat. We keep reminding people, the mainstream media, the CBSs, the CNNs, the NBCs and ABCs, they are linked to the Democratic Party.
You can't trust them at all. Walker, Walker, you go, then Ray.
Yeah, this is their tactics. This is the tactics of the media and the Democrat Party, and that is to basically knock off anyone who dares to rise against their power structure. They tried it with Trump. It didn't work. Although it had worked with politicians for years down the line until they got to Trump, and it didn't work. No matter what they threw at Trump, it didn't work. So they're going to try this with DeSantis. Why? Because they want to disqualify him before we even get to the 2024 presidential election cycle. But what this really tells you is this actually lets you know who's fighting, who actually has values and believes what they say. That's who the media goes after the most. Mm-hmm. It was Trump, now it's DeSantis. So that honestly lets conservatives know that, hey, this guy's a true believer because the media hates him.
He's a fighter, too. Go ahead, Ray.
You know, there are good hit jobs and bad hit jobs. I define the difference this way. Good hit job is one where you're saying something that's untrue, but the evidence to disprove it is hidden in an ice cave in northern Norway up above the Arctic Circle that nobody can get to, right? That's a good hit job because there's a bad hit job is one where all you got to do is pick up the phone. All you got to do is call one or two people and the hit job blows up. So this is a very bad hit job by CBS because it is so easily refuted, so obviously wrong.
And I think one of the other things, too, is that Governor DeSantis is factually has done a terrific job in fighting the pandemic. He has opened up his state. He believed, as President Trump preached during the last 6 months of his presidency, that we got to get the economy going again. We got to open things up because shutting things down are doing more damage than what the pandemic is doing. So that is what Governor DeSantis did. He is extremely successful. The science shows that his decision was right, and that's what the Democrats hate. That's what the mainstream, their friends in the mainstream media, they hate it. So they have to find some way to discredit. What apparently the 60 Minutes reporter did not know is that DeSantis people were recording the whole thing. And that's a lesson I would say to any conservative politician Absolutely. Out there. You better start recording the whole thing and when you're in front of reporters, because they're going to be out to get you.
Yeah. I'll give you one guess. Walker, how old is Governor DeSantis?
30, 35.
How old is he, Red?
I'd say early 40s.
What do you say, Ray?
46, maybe.
He's 42.
Yeah.
He's 42 years old. He is a, listen to this. It says his education is from the Naval Justice School in 2005, Harvard Law School 2005.
That's not bad.
And Yale in 2001.
Harvard Hello. And Yale. Wow.
Hello.
Yeah, he took my spot there. See, I knew something happened. I couldn't get in. I was like next on the list.
And then this guy DeSantis came in.
DeSantis got in before me. At Harvard and Yale, evidently. No, I'm seriously. The guy is very smart, very articulate, and he's also a fighter for, I would say, constitutional and conservative principles. And he doesn't back down. Good for his staff, by the way.
Yes.
Huh. Uh huh. Whoever on his staff recorded this whole thing.
Yeah.
Needs to get a raise.
Yeah. Yes. Remember. Yeah. This was probably at least a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. But remember the congressman, I think it was a congressman from Iowa, that did a sit-down with his...
Steve King,
yeah,
I think.
Congressman Steve King did a sit-down with, I think, the New York Times or the Washington Post.
It was New York Times.
New York Times for like an hour or two. And they recorded it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't. And they totally twisted everything he said and spared him and made him actually step down from a committee assignment.
Yeah.
But he didn't record the interview. So this is the importance of recording the interview.
Absolutely.
Remember President Trump? He would record every interview.
Absolutely.
And he scooped.
Yes.
I think he scooped 60 Minutes one time.
Yeah. They used to have these networks, I believe, a stipulation that, well, this is kind of our property, our interview, our property, so we're not going to let you record it. But I tell you, if you're a conservative politician, you're crazy if you don't insist that you record the whole thing.
That's right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Walker, Fred, and Ray, and we thank you for listening to AFR. If you want to send us an email, go to comments@afr.net. Comments@afr.net. Fred, next story.
You remember about a year ago, one of the real panics surrounding the pandemic was you got to get these sanitizers. You hard to find Clorox wipes anywhere or any companies that were producing these things, because you just had to keep the surfaces clean because the surfaces, the tables and anything else, the handles, they were just hotbeds of this virus. That's what the science back then, they say, was telling us. Well, here's another. We started off with a head scratcher. Here's another head scratcher. Here we are 12 months later. And the head of the CDC, the CDC director, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, had an update yesterday on what these cleaning agents do and what they don't do. It's cut number 9.
The CDC has updated its guidance for cleaning and disinfecting facilities and homes to reflect the science on transmission. People can be affected with the virus that causes COVID-19 through contact with contaminated surfaces and objects. However, evidence has demonstrated that the risk by this route of infection, of transmission, is actually low. Cleaning with household cleaners containing soap or detergent will physically remove germs from surfaces. This process does not necessarily kill germs, but reduces the risk of infection by removing them. Disinfecting uses a chemical product, which is a process that kills the germs on the surfaces. In most situations, regular cleaning of surfaces with soap and detergent, not necessarily disinfecting those surfaces, is enough to reduce the risk of COVID-19 spread.
Yeah, but what she went on to say, still, it is the airborne virus from a cough or whatever the case may be. But, you know, it's really interesting she used the word the science now shows. Well, the science hasn't changed.
No.
You know, the virus hasn't changed from 12 months ago. So what she didn't admit, but really what she was saying was they were going by guessing by gosh a year ago on this. And now after all this panic about, you know, you have to, you know, every few 30 minutes, you
I washed my fingerprints off.
You and several other million Americans.
Yeah, I think this is one reason that some of the public becomes cynical of CDC updates and recommendations is because they can literally do a 180 mm-hmm. in a matter of weeks, mm-hmm. Depending on the issue. And, you know, we've really known for a long time now that the majority of spread happens, the vast majority of spread happens person to person.
We've known that for months. Go ahead, Ray.
So what are they saying? You should wash? You shouldn't? You should use disinfectant? You shouldn't?
No. What they're saying here is, if I can interpret for the CDC, again just a full disclaimer, C-plus in college chemistry. So whether that qualifies me to comment on this or not, I don't know. But they're saying that you don't get COVID from surfaces. I mean, it's like minuscule. She said low.
Yes.
No, I read the report, the statement. It's like minuscule. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we at first thought, you know, nobody wanted to touch anything, right? Because we were worried about, and then they were saying don't touch your face, which is probably a good idea anyway. Don't touch your face.
Just general principle, right?
But that's almost impossible if you watch anybody. I'm gonna watch you, Walker, for about a minute now.
See how many times I touch my face.
Yeah, watch you touch. Don't touch your face, Walker.
Probably three or four
times. Don't touch
your
face. Okay, we all do that. We can't help it. We do that. It's part of being a human. But what they're saying was that people are disinfecting and what they call the sanitary theater.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
All the every restaurant, every store, they want you to see that they got 17 bottles of Clorox out in front of the, you know, and I understand that. They want people to feel like they got a clean business. Even if they don't use it, they want the imagery of that.
Right.
And that's what they were saying. But they were saying that COVID is passed by
aerosols.
Aerosol. Somebody who's sick getting next to you, and actually you have to be around them for a few minutes.
Yeah, at least 10, 15
minutes. It isn't just casual contact, they're saying. But we've known that for a while, right?
Right.
3 months now. Mm-hmm. So basically there's people saying, let's stop with all the, sanitation, everything sanitized, wiped down.
And this follows a few weeks ago when they said 6-foot rule, for schools.
This is the thing about the CDC now, is that, we can talk about this, we got about the break. They change things, and on one hand I'm going, okay, I understand you learn more. Mm-hmm. You learn more, you change things. But don't tell me it settled science 6 months ago and then come back now and say, wait a minute, it didn't settle after all. Okay, that's what they're doing here. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.